Let's do the 60-second savings challenge. Step one, download Rocket Money. Step two, link your accounts and see every subscription you're paying for. Tap one you don't use and cancel it. That's money back every month. Step three, create a financial goal. $50 every paycheck, or let the app automatically move small amounts of cash when you can afford it. In a week, you'll forget you set it up. In a month, you'll see real dollars piling up. In a year, you'll be shocked at how much money you've saved. Bonus challenge, upload an internet or phone bill and let Rocket Money try to lower it. You only pay if they find you savings. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. Make saving money the resolution you actually keep. Start the 60-second savings challenge at rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
Hey everyone, it's Michelle Williams, and I love being able to share my story with you on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, where my guests and I, we get real as we share the ups and downs of our mental health journeys, and I'd love for you to join me. Hey, it's going to be your church and your turn up. So listen to Checking In with Michelle Williams every Tuesday, a part of the Black Effect on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Trouble. Scott Farrell is calling the shots from the sideline.
We're going to make fun of people. We're going to hurt people's feelings.
It's Farrell on the bench.
I believe in whipped cream with everything. It's Farrell on the bench on a pain-free Friday in the biggest way possible. Hanging out. The bad seed broken into bad apple with a bad attitude. Hanging around a bunch of bad on a bad day. Bad law, bad day, bad, 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 bad vibes. We are live in the Farrell Appalachia right across the river and through the woods from where Granny just ground up a bunch of flour for me from a couple of big, beefy purple buds that she had after she drank a few too many glasses of wine in New York City. The Big Apple. Ooh. People justify it's bad and ready to try it. Some kind of fashion check it out. She do be all my friend and come around. Pass the party of rats on the west side. Peppers of town. What a mess of town. Town. Brain splattered all over my head. She do be shaking. Ooh. Carver High, that's the sped up version right there.
That's the Friday night special right there.
Friday night special. The Islanders lead the Capitals 3-2. A minute into the third period, we got action going in the Stanley Cup playoffs. Even if Tuukka Rask doesn't think it's fun. What a wussy that guy is. How about that guy crying about not enjoying it?
Yeah, I was a little taken back by that. Like, and even his teammates, like they went right to Marchand because, you know, Marchand's like the real emotional, you know, leader for that team and all the stuff that he does on the ice. And Marchand's like, seem like playoff games to me. Feel like it out there with all the intensity. So
right.
I don't know what Rask was thinking saying that.
So I don't know if you saw this, but earlier, great game. The Canucks beat the Blues again, this time in a Horvat with the winner after the Blues had scored with 7 seconds left in the game with an empty net on a puck out of the air that bounced in five hole under the guy's onions. Incredible game. Vancouver leads that series 2-0. We already saw today Montreal blow out the Flyers and the Avs win.
Hey everyone, it's Michelle Williams, and I love being able to share my story with you on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, where my guests and I get real as we share the ups and downs of our mental health journeys, and I'd love for you to join me. I'm still on my own journey, but I want to be transparent with you because as I was posting all the highlights of my life on social media, I was breaking down. And too many people fall victim to the picture-perfect image of the high life, so I created a space to discuss the good and the bad. We can laugh, man. We gonna learn. And most of all, I hope to inspire you to go on this journey with me to better mental health. This is gonna be your church, your turn up, and everything in between. So join me on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, a safe space for every kind of person. Listen to Checking In with Michelle Williams every Tuesday, a part of the Black Effect on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
So I watched this show tonight, 34C, talked me into watching a show on Netflix about this guy, Nicholas Anelka. Do you know who that is now?
Yes, I do know now who you're talking about.
All right, so he's a Frenchman, and he was a just a star player. He was on a national team like a few different times. Like, he had his ups and downs, this guy. I mean, like, nothing you've ever seen. They, like, didn't call him up several times for the national team for, you know, like the World Cup and stuff. So he had this horrible on and off relationship with the French national team where he just was, I don't know, it's kind of creepy. The guy looks like Kobe Bryant. He looks a lot like him. And when you're watching this thing, you think you're like watching Kobe, but, and he's enormous. The guy's really big. Like, he was a really big forward, and he was a striker, bottom line. And he literally played, and I got to get this right. So listen to this. This guy got sent around like a bag of potatoes as a transfer. He started his career, believe it or not, at the age of, they sent him off at 13 to go to the like French National Training Academy. And it was called Clairefontaine, right? And he ended up playing for PSG when he was 16 years old. And then he went to Arsenal and played for the Gunners. It was his first taste of the Premier League. And he had 23 goals in 2 years. Then he went to Real Madrid and he played one season, had 2 goals, and they literally tortured him. The media tortured him because he was the highest priced transfer ever. And then he didn't live up to it, and they tortured him and abused him, followed him, couldn't even leave his house. The guy was stalked by the media. Well, he couldn't even leave his house. Literally, wherever he went, he got just bombarded with thousands of fans and media. He had this crush. He couldn't do anything, couldn't breathe. Then he went back to PSG, played 2 seasons, had 10 goals. Then he went to Liverpool on loan, had 4 goals, was doing really well, and then they didn't keep him. He went to Man City after that, played in 89 caps. He had 37 goals. He lit it up there. Then he went to, I think he went to Turkey after that, and then played for 2 different teams, Fenerbahce and then Bolton. I think those are, am I wrong? Like, is Bolton back in, like, the Champions or in the Premier, or is that in Turkey too?
No, Bolton is an English club. They're either in the Championship or one below that.
Right. Then he went to Chelsea, and then he played in Shanghai. Then he went on loan to Havanas, and this is at pretty much the end of his career. He went to West Brom, had a couple goals, and then played in Mumbai and India, right? So
the only thing he's missing for the bingo card is an end of the career stop in the MLS. That's all he was missing on the bingo card.
France, he played 69 caps, had 14 goals from 98 to 2010. And then he became a manager in Shanghai and Mumbai. And now he's coaching kids in Lille. And he won the European Championship. And he won the Confederation Cup. He also was on a Champions League team that won it. He's won it all. The guy won it all, right? So, like, his international career was crazy. Euro 2000, France went on to win the Euro 2000 Confederations Cup. He's done it all. I mean, this guy, It just was crazy. So I'm watching this guy. And then the story is in 2010 of the World Cup, he was in South Africa. He was sent home after abusing coach Raymond Domenech at the half of the game. They were losing 2-0 to Mexico. And he told the coach that he could stick his game plan up his hunk, hunk, hunk. The next day, the newspaper, this legendary newspaper in France, wrote a story that said he said, quote, "Go Pharrell yourself, you dirty son of a kunk, kunk, kunk." The incident was later reported by the media and players, and everyone refused to apologize. The French team refused to train. The coach had to come out and say years later that he never said that. The media made the whole thing up. The case went to court because Anelka sued the newspaper for libel and slander and defamation, right? Because he never said what they said he said. But the newspaper won because they said when two people are having a fight, two famous people are having a fight, it's not two private people. When two famous people are having a fight, they're both famous, the coach and the player on the French national team, everybody knows them. So when they're having a fight, anything they say goes. So they can make up stuff. They could literally make up stuff you said. This is what the judge said. You could literally make up what someone said. You could say someone cussed someone out, which is what they did. They made up the headline, and they can't. They were not guilty of anything. Because when two famous people are fighting, anything goes. If they can prove that there was a fight, which they did, they can say whatever they want was said. And so the guy ended up quitting. He took his stuff and went home, took his ball and went home like a little baby. I have to admit, I was fascinated by the guy because he was very controversial, very opinionated, very stubborn, very private, very, never wrong, never wrong. The coach was never right. He was always right. I think one of the problems with him was, Carver High, is that he started at 13 at that academy. And so he never had, he was a child. So he was a kid, and he was not an adult. He was not I think Pulisic is, certainly older than him. I don't know if Pulisic was going to a French academy at 13 and then at 16 playing for PSG. Pulisic was not doing that. Pulisic was playing in Pennsylvania at 16, right? So this kid never had, he just had, no one ever said no to him. He was just a star athlete. He could score goals like nobody's business. He could run like the wind, and he was big. He was like 6'4". He was no joke. And so no one ever told him no. So he was spoon-fed, and he made tons of money, tons of money. The guy made more money. Like, he made money like Ronaldo and Messi make money today, right? You understand? So back in the day when this guy played, he made tons of money, millions. 100 million here, 30 millionaire, 50 millionaire, 80 millionaire, 20 million here, 10 millionaire, 100 million here. I mean, this guy made so much money, make your head spin. So now he lives in Dubai. He lives in Abu Dhabi. He lives in the United Emirates, in the Middle East. And he's like living there where they have like Fight Island, and where they're going to have where's the Qatar? Is that where the World Cup's going to be? So this guy lives in Dubai, and in Dubai, it's filthy money. You have to understand, it's oil money, and money like you will never know in this country, right? So the guy lives in this just fat pad, and he's got like the most beautiful kids, and his wife is smoking hot, the whole deal. The guy's filthy rich. Like, he'll never have to do anything the rest of his life. He might even coach that Lily team for nothing, right? For free. Because these kids, he's coaching these young kids, and this guy has it all. And all you do in this entire doc is hear about how basically the media and people accused him of everything his entire career, and he got run out of every gig. This guy got shipped out everywhere he played after one or two seasons. It was like he was a bad seed, right? Because he was very controversial and opinionated. He didn't listen to coaches. He didn't listen to teammates, nobody. He just was like, give me the ball, get out of my way. I'm scoring all the goals here. I'm the star. Pharrell, you. And I was fascinated by it because I wonder if it's like the, you know, Messi and Ronaldo, because today Messi's team got beat 8-2 by Bayern Munich. And I mean to tell you, they fired the coach of Barcelona. By the time the guy took a shower, he got fired. I mean, that is how much pressure is going on in that Champions League. It's Pharrell on the bench.
Have you written a book and need some insight into what comes next?
Or are you passionate about cooking and want to know how to make it your career?
Or maybe you just want to hear insider stories about the entertainment industry. Either way, we've got you covered with the Two Guys from Hollywood podcast. I'm Alan Nevins, a literary agent and talent manager.
And I'm Joey Santos, a columnist and celebrity chef. And on our podcast, Two Guys from Hollywood, we bring our expertise to the table with, of course, delicious cocktails and all kinds of recipes for you to try at home.
So grab a drink and join us. We've got a wide range of celebrity guests and Hollywood insiders to discuss pop culture, publishing, and entertainment. And we'll provide you with an unfiltered and sometimes brutally honest show about Hollywood.
As we like to say, we don't dish, we serve.
Listen and follow Two Guys from Hollywood on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll talk at you soon.
All right, Pharrell on the bench with you. Here's one, Carver High. What was it? Let me see this one. This is going on way too long. Here's another one. Who cares? Here's one for you. Kiss my ass. How about I stick my fist down your throat? How's that sound? How about you go have a drink and go to bed and tell your mommy you don't like it? How's that taste? You know what I mean? Like, how about I stick the end of my fist right down here in the palm of my hand through your nose skull? How's that sound? You wussy ass. I don't care what you think when I'm talking about stuff. Go tell your mommy. Don't cry to me, Argentina. I'll beat your ass. Other than that, have a nice weekend. Do you think I'm going to listen to you hacks cry about me telling cool stories? If you don't like it, go to bed, you femmes. Carver, how do you think that covers it in terms of like what I'm trying to get my point across? I covered it right there. Okay, thanks. I just wanted to make sure because, you know, I don't listen too well. I'm not one of those guys that likes listening too well to the criers and hacks and complainers. Say it to my face. Tony Jones with The Athletic out in Salt Lake. He's probably scared to death to come on the show now, even though he knows me well, so he's not going to worry about it at all. He knows we're going to talk Jazz, and we're going to talk NBA Rack. Tony, my man, how you doing, brother?
Man, I'm from Brooklyn. I've heard worse.
You know what I mean, dude? Like, I'm not going to have anybody coming into my barbecue and spoiling the party with their cheap-ass beer and they're complaining about the ribs.
Yeah, I've heard worse, man. You know, let it all out, bro.
That's what I'm talking about. You know what I say? So I'm playing ball, right? And I got these guys that cry when I hand check them, right? So I'm a big 6'4", 220, and I got monsters trying to barrel toward the rack down in the low block on me. And on the baseline, these guys that try to do that tweak move where they rip and then they run around and try to go baseline on you in reverse, I'm not having it. And then I hand check them, and I'll put like a forearm in them, and I'll give them some body, and then they cry, and they put on this big display, and they call fouls, and then they get all mad that I touched them, and I'm like, bro, this ain't valet parking down here, son. You come in here, you're going to get everything. You're going to get all of it. You're lucky I don't break your kneecap when you come around a corner like that, driving fast on my street when my kids are out in the driveway. Come in here trying to shoot reverse layups on Pharrell. Break your nose. So,
I say, man, you got to make them feel you.
You got to let them know you're there, Tony. You got to let them know you're there. What kind of game? I don't call fouls unless somebody like literally takes my head off trying to score. But you touch a guy now and the world's ending and they want to sue you. They want to fight you. They want to talk trash to you. So I'm really good at talking trash. I'll hurt your feelings. So I don't have a lot of friends on the basketball court. So tell me what you think of this team the Jazz as they go into the playoffs, whether you like what you're seeing right now from them or not, because I got to be honest with you, I thought they were fairly stale in Orlando.
I think Orlando requires a lot of context because they tried to lose a couple of games because they tried to dictate their seed.
Right.
They wanted to avoid the Houston Rockets. So they did a lot of developing. They played a lot of their roster from players 12 to 17. If I had to characterize the Jazz right now, I would say that their starters are really, really good. I think from 1 to 6, they're a good team. And then I would say from 7 to 10, that's where things get kind of hazy. So I think heading into this playoff series against the Denver Nuggets, I think you're going to see a lot of 40-minute games out of people like Donovan Mitchell, Mike Conley, and Rudy Gobert.
Well, I don't deny what Spider's able to do. And I thought Clarkson had some good burn for him when I was watching him play. And I know what Gobert can do inside and blocking shots defensively, getting rips off the glass, getting second chances, lob dunks, whatever. I know he can do all that. I need to see more out of Ingles for sure. I thought he looked slow and fat in the whole thing. He wasn't doing anything for me. I'm just being honest. And I know that they can play. What worries you about Denver? Does Porter worry you at all? Because I think he's kind of taken a step over Murray. Murray was injured. Everybody was wondering if he was going to get his game back, his legs back, right? Because he had a hammy. If he'd get his, cardio back and his run back and his J back, because he can shoot for sure. But I think Porter's taking his burn a little bit.
Well, I think what you're worried about with the Jazz, specifically with this matchup with Denver, I think you're worried about Denver's overall size and athleticism. The Jazz, as a lot of people know, they lost Bojan Bogdanović for the season. And without him, they are a really, really small team around Gobert. Royce O'Neal starts at power forward. He's 6'4", 6'5". You know, Joe Ingles plays, 100% on the perimeter, even though he's 6'8", so he has positional size. And Donovan Mitchell and Mike Conley are both 6'1". So, Denver's going to be the bigger team. They're going to be the more athletic team. There are things that the Jazz can do to hurt Denver. I think that, if they put Nikola Jokic in a lot of pick and rolls, they're going to find a lot of open shots. But Denver's a good team, man. They're big, they're athletic, they're skilled, they're deep. Jokic has handled Gobert 1-on-1 this season. This is probably the first season that I could ever say that I could ever say that between those two and their individual matchup. If the Jazz are going to have a chance, it's Donovan Mitchell and Rudy Gobert are going to have to dominate the series. And if they don't dominate the series, it's going to be really tough for the Jazz to win the series.
You know, he's got that fake pump fake where he puts the ball over his head, like he's going to pull up from outside. And it's like every time he does it, the guy gets the defender to lose themselves, like either going forward, going up. He gets them unbalanced, either get him in the air or get him leaning. And then he is just either doing them off the dribble or feeding like Sabonis used to. And I'm talking about old man Sabonis, the way he used to pass, because Jokic can pass. So that guy has become a problem, I think, with that move of his. It's so slow and deliberate, but it's got such, lethal intentions. I know you know what I'm talking about. He pulls up and he does that thing over the top of his head, and he gets everybody like moving the wrong way. And if you give that guy a foot, he'll kill you.
Yeah, it's Jokic's exaggerated shot fake.
Yeah.
And the reason why it's so effective is because he can actually shoot out of it. So you don't know if he's going to shoot or pass out of it. you know, on a slightly lower level, Jonas Valanciunas down in Memphis does the exact same thing, and he gets a lot of people. He gets a lot of people off balance as well. But Jokic, he's got that exaggerated shot fake that, you know, he can do a lot of things out of. And the thing that it makes it so effective is that he can do that all the way out to the 3-point line. So he's gotten Gobert with that a lot. And, you know, there are times that he shoots it and he knocks it down for three. There are times that it's a shot fake, and then he throws it on the floor, and then he goes into like a 1,000,001 Kevin McHale like post moves, and he creates separation there. So, you know, Jokic is a low one-on-one, man. When he decides that he's going to score, that he's going to be aggressive offensively, you know, he gets a lot done, and he's a guy that's given Gobert fits this year.
So I got like I want you to stay for another segment if you can and talk more about other, you know, Western series and stuff like that. But I want to ask you in like respectfully in a minute, Conley, his game. Do they love his game there? Do they like him in Utah? Is he in their plans? Because I think that guy can still flat out ball.
Yeah. Well, they love Conley. They thought. Well, the Jazz front office thought that, you know, there were some issues with him being comfortable. You know, he's played with another ball-dominant guy in Donovan Mitchell for the first time in his career. So I think that threw him off a little bit. But once Conley finally settled down and found the comfort level, he's been good. He was really, really good in March, and he's been really good in the bubble. You know, I think that not having Bojan Bogdanovic to also defer to has helped him because it's put the ball in his hands a lot more. But I think, you know, if you look on social media, obviously there were, you know, questions to whether he had lost a step, whether he was washed. And the Jazz front office never thought that. They always thought it was, you know, just kind of him getting used to being in a new system. Which is fair because he was in Memphis, the same system in Memphis for about 11, 12 years. So, you know, when he finally got comfortable and when he finally figured it out, he figured out the offense, he settled down and he's looked a lot like the player that he was in Memphis.
Yeah, no doubt. I want to ask you about Clarkson, too, when we come back. We're talking to Tony Jones with the Athletic and Salt Lake Shakers about the Jazz getting ready for the Nuggets. All right, Pharrell and a bench. Tony Jones, our buddy from The Athletic in Salt Lake. So when they got Clarkson, you know, he seemed like, unless I'm tripping, he seemed like he was miserable going there. But he's making the most of his burn, isn't he? Do they like his game mixing in with everybody?
Well, you know, the funny thing is he's really fitting to the locker room. You know, he's a guy that kind of one of those guys that if you don't like him, the problem might is probably you. You know, and on the floor, he's giving them exactly what they needed. Their bench was abominable before he got there. And he's come in and he's been given the green light to kind of create off the dribble and kind of just go and be him and get buckets. And he's done that. And he's going to be a real key for the Jazz. Because especially if Gary Harris can't play, Denver's going to throw a lot of Torrey Craig at Donovan Mitchell. And if Torrey Craig has some success guarding Mitchell, then it's going to be up to Conley and Clarkson to attack people like Michael Porter and Michael Porter Jr. and Jamal Murray and be successful in their one-on-one matchup. So, you know, Clarkson's going to play 25 to 30 minutes a night in this series. He's going to shoot the ball a lot because that's what he does. And, you know, if he's a guy that gets hot and proves a nuisance off the dribble to Denver, that's going to be good for Utah.
Do you think, you know, when you look at this team, you know, in terms of the benches and, you know, both benches. And without Harris and Barton, obviously they're having to go with guys that they usually don't go with. Do you think that's going to have some kind of an effect on Denver? Like that, those two guys sat the entire bubble. I saw them the other day, like in street clothes, like laughing and wearing masks and joking around. And everybody's like, I wonder when they're going to play. And I'm like, they don't look like they're close to playing at all. Are they going to plop them on the floor all of a sudden in this series, do you think? Or do you think they're still out?
Yeah, the rumor is that it's tough for them to get back, but you know, I know Denver holds out hope that both of those guys can play during the series. You know, even if they do play, it's going to be tough because you have to reintegrate them. They've both been out for a while. Murray just came back. But, you know, obviously both of those guys are important guys for the Nuggets. You know, Barton is terrific. And his ability to score and freelance and get where he wants off the dribble, and Gary Harris is one of the better perimeter defenders in the game. So, you know, they're going to be key to what Denver's doing. And Denver's missed Gary Harris. They're 22nd out of 22 teams in the bubble defensively. So, you know, they've obviously missed what Harris provides on the defensive end. So, you know, if they do come back, that's a body that, you know, Denver is able to throw at Mitchell and Conley defensively, and Barton provides another person that Utah has to worry about defensively as well. So it'll be interesting to see if those guys make it back or if Denver, like you said, has to go with what they got.
What do you think is the fallout from, and I know everybody's talked about this over and over, but I want to hear it from you. Because I don't believe anything else I'm hearing. What is the real story now between Spida and Gobert? Is that relationship solid, or is it taking a hit and they don't have anything to do with each other? They're just all business.
Well, off the court, you know, they're not on. They're probably not going to be on each other's Christmas list. They're probably never going to be best friends. But you know, I've maintained all along that they can be fine on the court and be good teammates to each other, and most importantly, be successful with each other. Here's the thing. The Jazz have made it clear to both of those guys that that they're not trading either one of those guys. You know, they intend to move on with both of those guys as the focal point of the franchise. So, you know, they've had some internal talks. There was obviously tension there. It was, you know, pretty apparent privately, and obviously it got out and it became pretty apparent publicly. But, you know, they've been really good to each other as teammates in the bubble, at least on the floor. They've been, you know, Donovan's been a lot more cognizant of trying to find Rudy in the paint when he gets into the lane and making reads. And making reads for others as well as reads for himself, and I think that Rudy Gobert has been pretty contrite with Donovan for his role in the beef between both of those two. So, you know, I think that, you know, professionally those two are fine, and I think that they're ready to just kind of move on, turn the page, and try to be successful in the playoffs and beyond.
How the hell did you end up out in Salt Lake, being from Brooklyn, son?
The same way I ended up in Florida, being from Brooklyn. I went where the jobs go. You know how journalism is.
Right.
You got to go. You have to go where the jobs are. And I made it a goal early in my career that I wanted to cover the NBA. And right. I wanted to cover the NBA as a lead beat writer. And there's only so many of those jobs to go around. So you got to go where the jobs are. So if the job's in Salt Lake City, out to Salt Lake City I go.
Do you ever want to come home and cover the Nets and Knicks in New York? Has that ever been in the back of your head? Or are you totally content and happy where you are? I mean, you're a great writer. It doesn't matter. But do you have those fascinations or ruminations ever?
You know, my mom lives in D.C. So I think my dream is if I were to come back east, I'd actually like to move to D.C. But my bigger career goal The career goal that I've set for myself going forward is to one day be a national NBA writer. And if I'm lucky enough to accomplish that goal, then, you know, I can pretty much live anywhere. So, you know, it's interesting because, you know, I have a daughter that's in high school.
Right.
And, you know, I want to be able to kind of get her through high school before I think about moving on anywhere. But, you know, I love Salt Lake City and I love covering the Jazz. So, you know, I'm pretty blessed that way.
Do you does your daughter share your love of basketball at all, or does she just think you're dad and stay out of my room?
I have two daughters, 1 16, 1 10.
All right.
The 10-year-old has a love for basketball. The 16-year-old is a volleyball player. They both think I'm dad and try to get me to stay out of their room, both of them. So I just barge into both of their rooms.
Right. So do I. I got a 15 and a 12, and they both ball. But the girl is more into it than he is. Meanwhile, he starts on the high school team, but he doesn't care if they lose. Like, it's the weirdest thing. Like, I lose playing pickup. Yeah, I play 5 days a week, and if I lose a pickup game, I'm cussing and angry and mad and storming out to my car and mad the whole day. These kids lose. They want to play Fortnite. They want to go get pizza, and they can kill. They just want to be friends with everybody. That drives me nuts. I've always been ultra competitive when I play, but one could care less, and the other one works on the game as the girl, and she just constantly out just jacking threes and playing. The other one's a really good player, and he just doesn't even care. It drives me nuts. What do you think is going to happen in these games of Saturday and, if you will, Sunday, if Memphis were to win Saturday? I don't think they can beat the Blazers twice, Tony.
Well, at this point, I don't think they can beat the Blazers once.
Me neither.
You know, I think Lillard is playing at such a high level right now,
right,
that, you know, I just think Memphis is they don't have the experience among their best players, and they just haven't been in this moment, right? Like, Ja Morant just hasn't been in this kind of a moment, you know. And so I think that, you know, Lillard and McCollum and Carmelo Anthony, you know, those are all vets. They've all, you know, obviously Lillard's playing at a just an insane level right now. But all three of those guys have been there, done that, been deep into the playoffs, and they know what this kind of game entails. And I don't think they want to risk it by coming back to play another game on Sunday. I think they know that, you know, they can get themselves a couple of days of rest by taking care of business tomorrow,
right.
Get themselves a couple of days of rest for the Lakers on Tuesday night. So I really think that they're just going to come out and you're going to see Portland come out and take care of business tomorrow.
So when he pulled up from half court and hit that shot, and they were down seven, and if he misses that half court shot, they go down 9 or 10 the other way. That game's over. I couldn't believe he pulled up from half court. That was crazy. If they get it done, which they will, you know, they will, how do you like them against the Lakers? Somebody asked me today if they'd be gassed. I'm like, ballers don't get gassed. They just want to keep balling. That team, as long as they're winning and playing and they're in it, it's like he said, we're here to win. I'm not here to have, you know, pina coladas. I'm here to ball and win. I think they got enough to give the Lakers problems. I think the Lakers are LeBron and Davis. I'm not buying anything else. I like Kuzma on that team. And then after that, you're going to have to really sell me, Tony.
Well, I think the Lakers, I think that's a six-game series max, because this is the difference. The Lakers can get stops, and this Portland team can't get stops. You're going to have to throw Carmelo Anthony and LeBron James. That's a mismatch. You're going to have to throw Zach Collins at Anthony Davis. That's a mismatch. And, you know, this Laker team, in the regular season, they were really oppressive defensively because of their length and their athleticism. You know, now that being said, Dame's going to put on a show, and he's going to win one of those games by himself. And And I think that it's going to be competitive. But I just see the Lakers having too many questions for Portland to answer. And I think that'll be pretty much a 6-game series, maybe 5 if the Lakers play really well.
What do you think of I got 1 minute, T. Jones. Tell me what you think of D-Book, the way he played. That was phenomenal, wasn't it?
Yeah, you know, he gained a lot. I gained a lot of respect for the way he played because, you know, my main criticism for him has always been I've never seen him play an important game, right?
Right,
and,
right.
These were important games that he played in the bubble, and he played really, really well. And I think that, you know, he's a guy that I think it has a chance to be a superstar in this league. Once it's all said and done, he's somebody he's just really offensively gifted, and he's rounding out his game in terms of playmaking for others. You got to watch out for Phoenix heading into next season, and Booker's one of the reasons why.
I can't wait to see that Net team play against the Clippers because they played their asses off for Vaughn, a bunch of ragtag guys. I thought Warren was incredible. I thought Trent was incredible. Cabarro was incredible. Some of the guys that stood out to me in Orlando. Tony, you're fabulous. I know you're going to be national because you're already national with me all the time. I love your columns. I love your style. I love talking back with you. Congrats on your daughters and all your success out in Salt Lake. I hope all your dreams come true. We'll catch up again real soon. Thanks for coming on the bench, brother. Have a good weekend.
Yes, sir, man. Thanks for having me.
All right, Pharrell on the bench. Good having Tony Jones on, just so people can catch up on how things work around here. So right now people are asking, well, how can I listen to the show? And like, if they don't like it on the YouTube or whatever, Fantasy app, FNTSY, the Fantasy Radio app has it. So just look that up. Boom, you get it. That'll hopefully turn into Sports Grid Radio app. Boom, that'll have it. SportsGridRadio.com will have it. Mightier 1090. Mightier, Mighter 1090.com will have it streaming. That station is in San Diego, and it goes from Baja down by, you know, obviously Mexico, Baja, California, all the way to Santa Barbara, north of Los Angeles. It is crazy. The signal goes from heaven to hell, and it literally covers 24 million people. And it's insane. It's the best radio signal I've ever heard. Okay. The stick, the antenna, the tower is in Tijuana. So it's got all kinds of things going for it that they don't have in this country in terms of, frankly, towers. You know what I mean? Like radio towers, the stick, whatever they call it, all the rules that they have, in my opinion, applicable in America for radio signals and towers. Carver, how you know that those don't apply to this thing because it's in Mexico.
Yeah, exactly. It's a huge, huge stick. It goes all over the place. It's enormous. It's one of the best in the world.
And no one can do anything about it. That's what I'm saying. The FCC can't do anything about it. This station booms like you've never seen anything. So we're going to be on starting in Southern California and San Diego and L.A. Monday, and it'll carry a ton of Sports Grid programming on the station all day, every day, literally from sunup to sundown. And I'll be live every day, normal, 4 East, 1 West, and 10 East, 7 West. So count on that.